Turn your Bibles to Luke. Luke, the second chapter. I've preached this several times in different ways. There's so much in this little bitty part of the after Christmas story, history, and of Simeon. And we have so many different scenes of Christmas. And I was listening to a pastor talk about the first Saturday in December as they have a live nativity scene in their church. And they were putting up this nativity scene, and these children were watching them. And one child looked to the other and said, "Now, what are they doing?" They said, "Shh, they're building a fertility scene." Oh, boy. I remember another Sunday school teacher was saying, "I want you to draw a picture of the nativity." And so all the kids were drawing pictures, and she came back, this one little girl, and she was drawing, and there was baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and a sheep, and then this little fat man. And he goes, "Now, Sarah, is that Santa Claus?" "Well, no, that's Round John Virgin. That's who that is. Round John Virgin." Some of you will get it later tonight, probably. A little liar. Hey, the title of my sermon is Looking for Jesus. Looking for Jesus. We see you here. Hey, let me tell you what I'm about to preach about. I'm going to ask you four questions. Are you being led by the Spirit? Has the Spirit led you to Jesus? Has the Spirit told you who He is? And today, can you depart in peace? Can you leave this building? I had a young man that couldn't do it today, and he walked the aisle and came to faith in Christ. That's the question of the day. And what are you looking for today? I get that question often when I walk into a certain stores. What are you looking for, sir? Probably my most despised thing to buy is a vehicle. And you walk in and you go, "Oh, here it comes," you know. And last year we bought a car. We went and bought a, I have never bought a brand new car. I probably will never buy a brand new car. But we went and I did drive one. And I liked it. It's just the sticker shock is hard to get over. Anyway, but you walk in there and they go, "What are you looking for?" And you got to kind of tell them what you're looking for. And or when I go to a clothing, "What are you looking for, sir?" Sometimes I don't know. I'm looking for something for my wife and I don't know it until I see it. And very dangerous thing to buy clothes for your wife, by the way. This Christmas, I got away with buying my wife a mop. She's happy with it because, you know why? I got her a new floor. That's how you do this. You can get away with it 1 year, but you got to put a new floor in first. And then you can get her mop. Don't do that. I saw a Christmas card this year, and it's a Red Cross Christmas card. And it's a nurse with a man. He's got bandages all over him. And they said, "Tell me again, what happened this Christmas?" "Well, it started when she opened her gift and it was a mop." he's in a bed. He's all strapped down. It was funny. I thought it was funny. But anyway, what are you looking for? Sometimes when I walk into the store, I just say, "You know what?" I tell them what I'm looking for. Sometimes I tell them I don't know what I'm looking for. I'll find it. I'll give you a holler. Sometimes I tell them, "That's okay. I know what I'm looking for. I just don't want their company." You know, the sales pitch all the time, especially car dealers. But in regards to the spiritual sense of searching, we often either do not know what we're looking for. You may have come here like that. Or you know what you need. You just don't know where to find it. And to suspect as I am of car dealers, you may be the same of those that deal in spiritual matters, as pastors and preachers and priests and things. You might think that I want you to buy my brand. And my brand's Baptist. And I think it's a great place to serve the Lord, but there's not a Baptist that's going to heaven. We all have to be Christians. We have to be believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to just here in this scripture ask you these questions. Are you a believer on the Lord? Do you know the Lord Jesus? It's not a place. It's not in a place. It's not an attitude. It's not nirvana. Spiritual enlightenment. There might definitely be some spiritual enlightenment, but it doesn't come from self. It comes from outside of you. And that person that you are desperate to meet has got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus changes everything in your life. You don't need to go to a new way of thinking or anything, and though it is a new way of thinking, you don't need to go to a new place, though you might need to go to a new place. You need to come to the foot of the cross and face Jesus face to face. That is what you need. And we see it here in this story. Would you stand with me as I read this wonderful piece of scripture of an old man named Simeon? And we're in Luke 2. Let's start at 25, verse 25, and just read 10 verses. And behold, that means look, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, this is the custom of the law, he got circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel. That was the law. And then if it was a son, like Jesus, she had to wait 33 more days. If it was a daughter, it was 66 days. We find that in Leviticus and in Exodus. The reason why he's holy unto the Lord is because when they brought out the children of Israel, guess what was the first, what the death angel kill? The firstborn of everybody living, beast or humans. And so this was a big deal. So 27, and he came in the Spirit of the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Lord, we thank you for your word. May you speak through me, Lord, by your Holy Spirit's power. May the listeners hear with spiritual ears. And may we see your glory, Lord, with our spiritual eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We do see a progression here. It's a wonderful progression. It's a progression of the Spirit leading and how he leads. And he's going to lead you to certain things. And I've had people tell me, the Holy Spirit told me this. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit didn't tell them that. That's not what the Holy Spirit would tell them. You and I have all experienced that. You know, it's like the kid who says, "Dad, I want a car. I want a car. The Holy Spirit wants me to have a car." And so he says, "I tell you what, you get your grades up, you cut your hair, you get a job, we'll get a car." So the kid goes and does all that except one thing. He doesn't cut his hair. And the kid comes and says, "Dad, I got a job. My grades are up. Can I have a car?" And the dad says, "Well, you haven't cut your hair." And he says, "You know, I was thinking about that. Jesus had long hair." And that's when the dad says, "Yeah, and Jesus walked everywhere he went." Mm-hmm. People, there's one thing, and this is my first point in this sermon. The Holy Spirit is wanting you to be led to the foot of Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants you to meet Jesus. The Holy Spirit is wanting you to have a collision course with Jesus Christ on this side of glory. Because I just want to tell you something. You are on a collision course with Jesus. One way or another, You can either surrender to him on this side and live and step into eternity and have eternal life, or you're going to meet him not on a term you would like. As a negotiator on the police department, they would call us negotiators in when generally a barricaded subject, lots of suicidal subjects, but on occasion we'd have a felony warrant and someone would barricade themselves. And I would call in and I would make sure no one else was in the house. We knew that. And I could get a little rougher as a negotiator. You had to be careful. But you can get a little rougher. And I remember on at least two occasions, I was talking to this man who's barricaded himself, got, you know, everything against the walls, everything. He's possibly armed. SWAT team surrounded the house. And I'll call in and I'll say, "Hey, partner, I'm Mark Morton, a sergeant in the police department. You can call me Mark. And I'm here to talk to you. What's going on?" He's really amped up and he starts yelling and screaming. And I, "You get away from my house." I said, "Partner, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're not leaving. You have some decisions to make." And I begin to talk to him. And he would argue with me. And after a while, we would do something. We would take away his lights. Now he can't watch the TV with, you know, streaming live about this barricade subject. And we'd take that from him. And he said, "Hey, man, the lights are out." I said, "Yeah, I know it. We want to have all your attention. Now let's talk. Are you going to come out?" "No, I'm not coming out." "Well, we take his water from him. He can't go to the bathroom anymore. He can't get a drink of water. He can't do this." And it's frustrating. It frustrates him. And I call back, and I just keep calling him. I'm calling him. And he goes, "What? What?" I said, "Hey, it's time to surrender." And he said, "I'm not coming out. I'm not coming out." I said, "Hey, let me tell you something. There's two things that are going to happen today. Either you're coming out, we're coming in. Now, how it works out with them coming in is that could be very risky. Or you can just surrender. Now, church, you know where I'm going here. You see, maybe the Lord has been getting it uncomfortable for you. Maybe he's taken some things from you. Maybe some things you've been depending on. Well, you think he's doing this because he's angry with you. Let me tell you, not everybody gets this treatment of somebody who loves them enough to take something from them to open their eyes. And he'll talk to you and he says, "Come on, surrender. Do you really want me to come in and get you like this, like you are right now? Unsurrendered, unrepentive, unbelieving." And going back to the police situation, most of them would come out, but on occasion, they wouldn't. I remember one man was just yelling at me out the door. He was just yelling at me when my buddy Dave Keller ran around the backside, and the rock came in first through the window, then a flashbang. Flashbang is just, if I was to set one off in this room right there, Caleb would be very disturbed, okay? It'd go boom, and it just jars you enough to kind of ring your bell a little bit and get you off place so you can be overtaken. And we threw that flashbang in there, and I just saw it's a flash of fire. Whew! I could see the man go engulfed in fire and kind of ring, and by the time he got himself together, he was in handcuffs. It was violent. It was rough. It was on our terms, not his terms. You are being led by the Holy Spirit to surrender. And here we have a man who surrendered. And to be led by the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. To walk through this world looking for Jesus is an exciting adventure. Some people think Christianity is boring. I think it's one of those exciting things to do, to wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, who are you going to lead me to today? What's it going to be like? How's it going to go?" As a policeman, it was thrilling. As a pastor, it's thrilling to just see who comes by. I was sitting in my office one day here, and a guy walks through the door, 21 years old, and immediately I could see there was problems spiritually. I can't put my finger on it. I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me, and he says, "My car just broke down in the parking lot." I went, That's kind of odd, don't you think? He goes, yeah, yeah. And so I said, well, you, what do you need? He says, I need some water there. So I got some water. We took it out. And I was sitting there, hey, why don't you come in? That thing's kind of overheating now. Why don't you come in and talk? And I sat him down, and we were talking, and we got on the subject of the Lord. And let me tell you something. He had some spiritual demonic issues going on. And I just said, you need to flee to Jesus. In the kitchen, we were sitting in the kitchen. I gotten something for him to eat. And he, here's a stranger, 21-year-old kid, just bawling and giving his life to Christ, fell on my chest, weeping because some deliverance has happened in his life. And I just thought, Lord, you're so powerful that I got to experience this in my life. That kid calls me every once in a while. Pastor Mark, how you doing? I said, I'm good. How are you doing? He says, I'm doing great. Those dreams are gone. Everything's gone because I met Jesus. Is that how you are today? Let me ask you first question. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? And maybe things aren't going so good in your life because you're on a collision course with Jesus. Some say, oh, if I could just see Jesus, I would believe. Let me tell you something, that's a lie. Do you know how many people saw Jesus face to face and did not believe? A few of them said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But most of them said, crucify him, crucify him. You seeing Jesus with these eyes, these physical eyes, does not guarantee you anything. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit and see the Lord with spiritual eyes from your soul. And he'll speak to your soul in the need that you have. You see, faith is not blind. It sees things. One of my favorite scriptures is by faith Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He saw something. He saw something huge. He saw eternity. He saw Christ. He saw heaven. And the Holy Spirit will lead you that way. And so you need to spiritualize the wooing of the Holy Spirit to lead you. Number two, it says here, have you been brought by the Spirit to Jesus, to the person of Christ? That's where he wants to take you. And behold, it says here, look, there's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous. That means just. He was a just man. He was a good man. This is what you would say is, if you could go to somebody and say, I really need to know the truth, this is who you'd go to. He would tell you, honestly, even if it damaged him, he would tell you the right thing. He was devout. That means he was really seriously religious. He had spiritual disciplines in his life. He prayed. He tithed. He did what God asked him to. It says here he was looking. Now, when you look this word in the Greek, it really is almost always translated waiting. He was waiting with anticipation. It's kind of like how I deer hunt. I get excited. I do not have a boring time. I took Austin White out. He's never shot a deer. This last year he's got a great tag up here in northern Nevada. And we go, and you know, I'm walking around, and I'm excited for him, and I look around back, and I say, hey, how you doing? I'm all right. I just don't think I'll get a deer. I said, you're crazy. Really? You don't think you're going to get a deer? I said, I'm so excited, I can hardly stand it right now. And I'm looking. I got my binoculars. I'm looking. I'm looking everywhere. I look back at him. You know, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I finally go, oh, I see some deer. You do? Yeah, I mean, they're like a mile out there, but we see them. And we do the little sneak. I won't tell the rest, but it was great. Anyway, some of you might not enjoy it, but, you know, you'll eat it. Don't have no problem eating it. But anyway, he got a nice buck. And he thought, you know, I just never thought it happened. Let me tell you something. You need to be looking to see Jesus. The Spirit wants to bring you to him. It's walking through your daily life, looking for Jesus, working in and around you. It's a wonderful thing. In fact, the Lord calls you to look. He commands it. And he's a treasure. Don't you remember those? That the kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field, and a man found it, and he like, whoa, I don't own this field. Let me bury it and go buy. So he sold everything to buy the field for the treasure. That's how Jesus is. That's how you need to seek Jesus. Or remember the lady who lost a coin in her house? What'd she do? She did everything. She changed her whole house up. She swept it clean until she found it. And then she rejoiced and called her friends and said, come rejoice with me. I've found what I've lost. Is this how you seek Jesus? Is this how you look for Jesus? This is how Simeon did. Hey, you might even have to leave a few things. You might have to leave precious things to go get that one lamb out. That tells us the heart of God. As a good shepherd. Folks, you find what you're looking for. Did you hear that? You find what you're looking for. Something I enjoy to do is look. I pick up shed antlers. I know it's sickness. It's kind of weird. But I like picking up. Antlers fall off every year. You might not know that. But they fall off. And you go around and you can pick them up. And I think they're beautiful and they're fun. But, you know, when you look at this vast sea of sagebrush, you think, how can I find this little horn? I wish I had brought some in, but I found big ones. I mean, I found one last year. It was huge. Okay? Big. I couldn't find the other side. But out here, I almost told you the spot. Whew. Anyway, that had been bad. I found a huge one, but I can also show you one that big. I found it. It was that big, a little spike buck. That big. You know why I found it? I was looking for them. I was looking for, and sure enough, I found them. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Walking through this earth, I mean, we don't have much time left. What are you looking for? Is it Jesus or something that's not going to last? Something that, as so many people that have reached the top, I read about an astronaut the other day. The eagle has landed. That's the guy who said that. I forgot his name. And they asked him, if you could learn one thing in your life, what would it be? He says that when I got to the top, that I'd still be empty. I mean, we know of people that are extremely successful that are suicidal, that struggle with depression and all these things. Why? Because they reach what they're looking for, and guess what? It's still empty. This hole in my heart is still empty. Well, thirdly, has the Spirit revealed to you that Jesus is the Savior? You see, Simeon walked in and he said, oh man, I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for Jesus. And he found him. You know how many priests were in that building that day? We know kind of, sort of, but it's in the hundreds. I mean, you want to talk about the greatest day in the temple history? Not when Solomon walked in. Not when David didn't walk in. He didn't build it. Not when the Shekinah glory hit it. This day, the Messiah is carried in by Mary and Joseph, and absolutely nobody sees it but one man and one woman. If you read on just a little bit, Anna sees it also. They're led by the Spirit. You know why they saw it? They were looking for it. They were looking for it, and they found Jesus. I don't know what that was like, but Brother Fletcher, I bet it's like that song we sing, Satisfied. Hallelujah, I have found him. Whom my soul so long has craved, Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. I mean, I can't imagine being carried by the Holy Spirit in the temple, and there's Jesus. And he got to hold him. That's amazing. And he declares some things. What's he declare? Immediately, the Holy Spirit says, now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. My eyes, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Wow, the Lord will speak to you. You know, when I met Jesus with my eyes of faith, don't be alarmed. But this is very typical. You will see yourself for the first time who you really are. And guess what? You need saving. And so did Simeon. My eyes have seen my salvation. I am unholy and he is holy. And you beg for forgiveness. It's just normal business with Jesus. Peter, remember all the 153 fish and all that? And he just went, whoa, I'm a fisherman. This doesn't happen. Even on our best day, especially in the middle of the day, this doesn't happen. He goes, the Lord is on the boat. And he bowed before him and said, you must depart from me. I'm an unclean man. He goes, oh, Peter, Peter, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He'll change you. But the first thing is it's going to be revealed to you who Jesus is. And it's always salvation. We need a Savior. We are a broken and hurting people. Has the Spirit revealed this to you about Jesus and you? Because you will come to faith in Christ when he reveals it. Let me ask you, why do you come to church? Why do you read the Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you forsake sin? Many other religious people do the same. I see Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses working in our neighborhood. They live a clean life. And by the way, that does bring on some happiness in your life, to have a clean life. There's some natural things. There's some natural laws that God gives. You know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Just don't be deceived about this. And I know some great non-Christian people that have a pretty good, clean life because they live that way. But unless you're looking for Jesus and his coming to redeem your body and soul and comfort you, why? Why would you do all this? If you think you can work out your salvation on your own, you're going to be very, very disappointed. And that was the difference between Simeon and that temple full of priests. The Holy Spirit was leading him to Jesus. And only two got it that day. The greatest day in the temple. The Messiah had been brought to the temple. He'll come again. They'll lay palm branches down, and he'll walk in. And it isn't amazing what he walks in with a whip. And he clears out the temple that day. Jesus comes differently. Hey, how is he coming to you right now? Is he a precious, sweet baby? Or do you want to wait until he has a whip? He is coming. He has given divine revelation also, and he's given personal revelation. You see, that everybody had the divine revelation. Hey, the Messiah is coming. But they weren't looking for him. He was given a personal revelation that he would see the Christ before he died. What a wonderful God. Have you been given personal revelation? You're blessed. You're blessed that God has personally revealed himself. Man, Abraham, Isaac, Jeremiah, Daniel would love to have been in this man's place, to see this. But we have to have the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Hey, lastly, can you depart this world? Excuse me. Can you depart this building in peace? Do you know the Lord? Has he led you? Has the Holy Spirit led you to Jesus? Have you confessed that Jesus is the Savior of the world and you need him, and you have surrendered and repented and come to faith in Christ? Then you can depart in peace. Here we see that he gets to depart in peace, and it should comfort you what he's able to do. It should comfort you that he got to hold Jesus. That day you meet Jesus is going to be so wonderful. I really believe it's going to be a very personal engagement. I know we're very, very careful not to talk about some of these things, like these people dying and coming back, but it's remarkable that this little boy saw Jesus. Why would he lie to me? And he saw wonderful things that are in the Bible. And he said, I watched a documentary on it, that one that, you know, Heaven's for Real. And he said this. He was 11 years old at this time. He goes, Heaven's for real, and you're going to like it. And he got to touch the Lord. And the Lord touched him. Now that sounds like my Jesus here. And that's the engagement I want. Can you depart in peace? Simeon goes on to say this. It's worth definitely looking at close. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And the sword will pierce even your own soul to the end of the thoughts, for many hearts may be revealed. Let me clarify and translate this out for you real easy. You can't take a middle ground with Jesus. You can't say, well, I'm going to check that out later. No, you're either for him or against him. He's saying here, he's going to know your heart, you're going to see the Lord, and he knows exactly where you're at, professing Christian. You have to make a decision about Christ. And he's going to force you to that decision. And you either say, I'm going to repent and surrender to the Lord, or I'm going to put it off. Or I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to do my way. Most, I think the biggest lie is you have time. I think that's the one the devil gets us on the most. I can come next Sunday. You've not been promised tomorrow. You don't know. I was talking to Mindy Kale a couple weeks ago. She's corner. And here's this mother is here because her 20-something-year-old daughter's dying in the hospital at Renowned. And they're staying at the Grand Sierra. And so they bring the family in. She has two kids, a 21-year-old son and a little older daughter who's dying in the hospital of a disease. And the 21-year-old kid is going to walk to the hospital. Instead of going under the freeway at Mill Street, he tries to run across the freeway and is hit and killed. What do you tell a mom who's sitting at the bed of your 20-something-year-old daughter and you have to come in there and say, by the way, your son's just been killed? You're not promised anything. Are you ready to meet the Lord? It's my favorite question when I'm in a hospital with even my nearest and dearest. I don't hold back. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Can you depart in peace here? Can you do that? Are you at peace? Now, when I say, what do you mean, Pastor, at peace? Hey, the wrath of God is coming, and there's only one thing that's going to stop the wrath of God, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. That is Jesus himself. You see, every one of your sins are going to be paid for. You're going to pay for them, or Jesus can pay for them for you. But they're all going to be punished. Jesus has already taken it for you. You just have to flee to him. Are you ready? Can you depart in peace? Would you bow your head? We're going to have an invitation in just a moment, but I want to ask you a question.